So today I wrap up the series on tending to creation that I've been doing over the last several weeks. And so I thought of this scripture as I thought of the last message of a vision of a new earth that was created, that was envisioned by John as he wrote the book of Revelation. So we read this vision. Then I saw new heavens and a new earth. The former heavens and the former earth had passed away, and the sea existed no longer. I also saw a new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God, beautiful as a bride and groom on their wedding day. And I heard a loud voice calling from the throne, "Look! God's tabernacle is among humankind. God will live with them. They will be God's people, and God will be fully present among them. The Most High will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death and mourning, crying and pain will be no more. For the old order has fallen." The one who sat on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new," and added, "Write this, for what I am saying is trustworthy and true." And that one continued, "It's finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To those who are thirsty, I will give drink freely from the spring of the water of life. This is the rightful inheritance of the overcomers. I will be their God, and they will be my daughters and sons." This is a word from our ancient holy scriptures. Have you ever imagined about, or dreamed about what the world would look like this perfect dream of a world? Most of us do at some point in time. Most of us have imagined at least a world where everyone gets along, where peace prevails and everyone has enough. We dream of a place where all people are valued and there are no divides among nations, perhaps even no nations. And life is good for everyone. There is enough. And from there, we have our own dreams of what that world might look like, our own little embellishments. So the writer of the book of Revelation offered us one of these visions, one of these dreams for what the new world would look like. A new earth, he called it. A place where God has replaced the old with the new, where tears and pain are erased and everyone drinks of living waters that brings renewal and life. A place where God lives among the people. It's a beautiful, beautiful dream of what God's might envision for the world. Humans have always envisioned the future and what it might look like, and many have tried to create a dream of the world, even when our dreams sometimes are just wildly disparate, as we can see in the world today. It is our dreams of the world and the worldview behind those dreams, as well as the actions we have taken throughout history, that have created exactly the world we have today. Whatever we have today is because we have created it. Humans. Much of it is good, very good. And much of it also is bad, and some of it very bad. The world perfectly reflects the nature of the human condition, the good and the bad. So as we wrap up this series on tending to creation, I want to summarize what I have been saying through these 5 weeks. And say clearly what we are looking at in the future and what we can do to make it better. There's very little doubt at this point in our history that the global civilization that we currently know is coming to an end. And that's normal. Civilizations come and go. It's cyclical. There are cycles. The difference this time is we're a global civilization, so it will be a global change in history. And there are primarily four reasons why civilization, this civilization, is coming to an end and we're moving into something new. And of course, I am simplifying those four reasons because the reasons are complex and very multifaceted. But the first reason for civilization's decline is, of course, our dependency on fossil fuels. They are the basis not only for our civilization, our global civilization, they are the main driver of our economy. Fossil fuels are the most traded commodities throughout the world. And since fossil fuels, of course, are limited, non-renewable, and are dwindling, we will have perhaps just a few generations to find other sources of powering the world. And there's no real surprise in this. We have known this for well over half a century, that these resources are dwindling and that we are needing to find other sources to power. Depending on who is doing the calculating, and I have consulted many, many sources over this week, we have about 30 to 50 years of crude oil in natural reserves in the earth, about 80 to 100 years of natural gas, and 70 to 110 years of coal. Which just means that within three or four generations, we will not be reliant on fossil fuels for our primary source of energy, which will drastically change transportation, production, consumption, as these resources are some of the primary materials for all of the goods that we enjoy today. Of course, we are transitioning to other renewable resources to power us, and that will slowly move us toward a completely different economy. There are new innovations almost daily that are generating optimism that by the time fossil fuels run out, we will have found new ways to energize the world. So one of the reasons for the change in civilization is the burning of fossil fuels, and a second and related reason for our decline as this civilization is the rate of climate change that we are experiencing. And while I have already said before that there has always been climate change, drastic climate change, this time it's very rapid climate change, and it's a result of human actions for the first time in history. And that's primarily the burning of fossil fuels. It's causing a rapid heating of the earth, which is destroying ecosystems, agricultural lands, oceans, and creating more severe weather events. The result of this will be increased climate migration, which has already started, rising costs as infrastructure is destroyed, larger insurance costs around the world, greater anxiety and fear, which we talked about last week, less stability in the world. And this is already happening. And thirdly, along with the decline in fossil fuels, we as a race are actually quickly decimating the earth by extracting other non-renewable resources, such as tungsten. I looked it up this week. Tungsten is what the metal they put in our light bulbs. Because it is the highest burning, therefore it doesn't, when it heats up, it doesn't burn the little filaments. Tungsten, but it's limited. Barium, helium, indium, mercury, all used in everyday items that we use, but are becoming increasingly depleted. We are and have been engaging in a condition termed overshoot by the sociologist William Caton in 1980, which means we are taking more from the earth than can be replaced. And therefore, we will end up one day either without many of these elements, or they will become, the balance will tip and they will be too costly for us to extract. And this alone is going to change the trajectory of civilization. And finally, the other reason for a civilization change is as governments, institutions, public services, and corporations become too big and unwieldy, they are becoming less effective at dealing with the problems that we face. Housing, healthcare, education, social services, government, crime. Taxes are going to increase with diminishing rates of return, which we're already discovering. This means a decline in the quality of life, an increased in the cost of having what we have, aging infrastructure that we cannot afford to fix, and a decreasing return on the value of our work. It also leads to a collapse in our trust in the ability of anyone to fix what is broken and results in a fracturing of society. And we already have a sense of what this looks like. Just look at every election that is taking place in the world these days. It's painful to watch as people are falling between the cracks or dying because of our inability to keep up with the needs of people. All this is to say that times are definitely changing. That there is a need for a new vision of a new earth, a new dream for the world. Our faith tradition offers that kind of vision of dream. It provides at least two major solutions that are in line with what we need to do to move to something more sustainable if we're to become that new earth and create a new dream for what we can be. First, we need to move to something much smaller and agile. Our systems need to be smaller. Our governments need to be more local. We need to come to some way of being smaller so that we can move quicker to solve problems. We need to acquire and consume a lot less. Downsize as much as possible. Leave resources in the earth for future generations. Become content with less, doing less, traveling less. In short, living simpler, smaller lives. Jesus was very clear about this, that stuff has no meaning and that we are not to stockpile or hoard what we have. Bigger is definitely not better when it comes to material possessions. If we could cut our consumption in half, even, this would go a long way toward extending the life of the Earth's resources while still giving us plenty. Cutting back, cutting down, that's one way. The second is building a more resourceful, resilient, stronger community. As one civilization moves out and a new moves in, there's a rocky transition. We just very well may be in that rocky transition now, and we need community more than ever to help us move through. In this case, Jesus spoke of comfort and strength and hope for the world through loving and caring for each other. That we need each other to get through the difficult times. It is a dream of the world where community means a lot more than commodities. Where our satisfaction comes not from our stuff, but from our relationships. Where tending to each other's needs gives us the greatest sense of hope and purpose and meaning. Where living spiritually rather than materially will mean greater peace, contentment, and joy in our lives. We need both of these things. We need to downsize. We need to take less from the earth. And we need to build stronger community where people care for each other as we go through maybe a rough transition. We need to somehow mitigate against the anxiety and fear so that we can get through tough times, and the way to do that is through the love of each other. Each of us can take steps towards this dream of a new earth. There is a new earth coming, a new world. What it looks like depends entirely on what we do today, just as how we got here today is a result of what we have done in the past. The transition between this world and the next is likely to be rocky, so we need to buckle our seatbelts, prepare the next generations, and do our best to look after each other. It's really important. Martin Luther King said this, It really boils down to this, that all life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We are made to live together because of the interrelated structure of reality. That there is a new reality on the horizon is becoming increasingly clear. We are alive in a time when what each one of us does is vitally important to the future. We cannot pass off to future generations the problems that are all too real today and that have been caused primarily by the people alive in the last 100 years. Dream of a better world, and then do what you can to make it a reality. Because we are all being called to this right now in this time. The question is, how will we respond? Let's take a moment for reflection.